The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be a hospital where spiritually sick people can find healing.
But Dr. Tony Evans says some churches just try to make people feel better about being sick.
In order to make people all happy, in order to increase membership, we tolerate the intolerable.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Sometimes the church's efforts to bring more people in can wind up pushing God's word out. Let's join Dr. Evans as he takes us to Revelation chapter 2 for a look at the danger of dumbing down God's standards.
When you go through an airport and you go through the magnetometers, the x-ray machines, they're looking for things that should not go on the plane. I am certain in your life there are expectations that are non-adjustable, that you simply say that's a boundary and certain things you will not tolerate. Well, today in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord is going to talk about the intolerance of an overcomer. If you are going to be an overcomer and not an undercomer, if you're going to be a winner and not a loser, if you're going to be victorious and not live in defeat, you must have your toleration limits. He writes to the church at Thyatira. He says, beginning in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, to the angel, that is the messenger, that is the pastor of the church at Thyatira, write. The Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet are like brandished bronze, says this. So he introduces this designation to the church at Thyatira. So let me tell you about Thyatira. It was a place known for its guilds or unions. Some of you perhaps belong to a union, a teacher's union, or a steelworker's union, or some other kind of official gathering related to people who share the same occupation. In the midst of these unions and this city called Thyatira, a church was established. And Paul came and led Lydia to Christ in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Out of that grew a church in the midst of this secular city called Thyatira. Well, Thyatira is known for its guilds and its unions, but let me tell you about a couple of aspects of the unions because that will help you to understand what Jesus is getting ready to say to the church. Not only were the unions connecting people who had the same occupation for protection and for privileges and for rights, but each union had its own God. So the unions had a spiritual or religious aspect to them. So if you were part of Thyatira's teachers union, then you were expected to give recognition to the teachers union God or whatever God was tied to that union. So that was one part of it. So Thyatira was a workers' union and had a religious aspect. But it not only had a religious aspect, the unions in Thyatira also had a social aspect, like a fraternity or a sorority. Well, the problem occurred when people became Christians and belonged to the union, and they were expected to recognize the union's God and to party with the other co-workers, that it involved things that went against the Christian faith. And that created a crisis for the Christians in these secular occupations. I am sure many of you can understand the crisis because many, if not most of you, have been in the crisis. Where working in a secular occupation, you have been expected, challenged, and sometimes even demanded to compromise spiritual values in order to keep your job or to get a raise on your job. You had to go along to get along. They're caught in the conflict of needing a job, working a job, but having to compromise their faith or compromise their morals in order to be accepted in the job. And that is the scenario. Verse 18 says, the Son of God, the one with eyes of fire and feet of burnished bronze, says this. Jesus Christ has already been introduced as the Son of Man. But on this occasion, in verse 18, to the church at Thyatira, he's not introduced as the Son of Man. He's introduced as the Son of God. And of course, Jesus is both the virgin birth. Mary's egg was fertilized by the Holy Spirit. So you had undiminished deity poured into sinless humanity, so that Jesus Christ is called both the Son of Man and the Son of God. As the Son of Man, he can relate to your humanity. As the Son of God, he can relate to God's deity. So he has one hand in heaven and another hand on earth. One foot in glory and another foot in history, because he's both the Son of God and the Son of Man. As the Son of Man, he can feel you. As the Son of God, he can handle you, because he is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is now introduced to us as the Son of God. As the Son of God, deity, he says he has eyes of fire, which means he can penetrate what's going on. See, when you walk through those metal detectors at the airport, I don't care how much you cover stuff up. I don't care how deep you put it in your suitcase. The penetrating eyes of the X-ray machine is going to go beneath what is evident and what is obvious to what is beneath and what is hidden. And Jesus's eyes of fire penetrates the facade. He knows when you're really Christian, and he knows when you're faking it to make it, because his eyes of fire penetrate to the reality of a thing. He not only has eyes of fire, it says in verse 18, it says he has feet of burnished bronze. Well, what do you do with feet? You walk. So he's got eyes to see it and feet to get to it. So not only does he know what's going on, he can get a hold of what's going on, and his feet are so strong, burnished bronze, that when he decides to move, everybody got to get out of the way. So Jesus Christ now presents himself to this church as the all-seeing authoritative one to these Christians who are caught in these unions that are being demanded that they tolerate certain beliefs and practices that compromise their Christian faith. So that's the dilemma. He compliments them in verse 19, where he says to them, I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than your deeds at first. So you are doing better. You are growing. You are a congregation that I see wants to do the right thing. And so I want to commend you for that. But after commending them, he now criticizes them. He says in verse 20, but I have this against you, even though you got all this good stuff, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. What's Jesus's problem with this church? His problem is what they tolerate. So you had this prophetess, self-proclaimed, because she called herself a prophetess. God never called her one. So she's saying God said this, and God thinks that, and God feels this, and she's making it sound all spiritual, wrapped in all Christianese, and she's making it sound like it's holy and like it's coming down from heaven, using the name of God to lead people away from God. What he's saying is that this church tolerated Jezebel. So let me tell you about Jezzy. We find Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 17. Jezebel was married to Ahab, the king of Israel. Jezebel was the daughter of a king, and she was a worshiper of the god Baal. Baal was the fertility god and the god of the pagans. She talked her husband into worshiping Baal. Sister girl, Jezzy, had such powerful influence that she even threatened the prophet of God, Elijah, and told him, because she had 850 false prophets, said, look, you keep doing what you're doing and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You will not live another day. She was a rebel and she was influencing other people, and other folks were around there saying, well, that's her business. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Oh, here's the way we say it. I'm not supposed to judge. Okay? So let's get this straight.
Yeah.
You are to always judge the distinction between truth and error. That you must judge. You must judge legitimately. You must judge biblically. You must judge lovingly. You must judge responsibly. I can love you, but I must reject that idea because it goes against what God says. And God is my standard. So you must hold in your hand two things, truth and love. You don't give up truth for love and you don't give up love for truth. You have to hold both of them simultaneously because there is a standard. I've mentioned it before. When Jonathan was 11 years old, he said, Dad, come on, come over to the Family Life Center. What, Jonathan? I got to show you something. Okay. I go over to the Family Life Center. Why am I here? He says, because I want you to see me dunk. Dunk what? Dunk the basketball. He's this high, 11 years old. Dunk the basketball. How are you going to dunk the basketball? He says, let me show you. He dribbles the ball, takes it with two hands, runs, jumps, boom, dunks the basketball. Now, before you get too impressed, he got the custodian to lower the rim. So a 10-foot rim was now a 6-foot rim, and he dunked the basketball.
Yeah.
Well, I got the custodian to raise the rim back up to 10 feet, and I said, well, I see what you're trying to do, but the goal here is not to lower the standard, but it's to grow you to reach the standard. God is not lowering his standard to please folk. What he wants to do is grow me, you, and us up to meet the standard. So you don't have to be here having met the standard, but you should be here wanting to grow so you can meet the standard, which is what spiritual growth and discipleship is all about. It is growing to reach the standard.
Yeah.
And so he's saying you tolerate, you accept, you dismiss the standard.
When Dr. Evans returns in a moment, he'll explain why there's more pressure than ever to dismiss those godly standards. But first, today's lesson is part of Tony's series, The Jesus Challenge. And I want to tell you about a great set of resources we put together as a way to follow up on what we're learning. It starts with all 8 full-length messages in this collection to study in depth, available to download instantly, as well as on CDs or USB flash drive sent straight to your home. Along with these, we're also including the Living as an Overcomer book, workbook, and Bible study video. They go hand in hand with this series. We'll send this package with our thanks for your donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. This special offer will only be available for a limited time, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org to take advantage of it today. That's TonyEvans.org. Or give one of our resource team members a call at 1-800-800-3222. They'll be happy to help with your request. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans is back now with the second part of today's lesson.
There used to be a time when I was growing up, when you were growing up, where the culture supported biblical values. Even if they didn't operate by them, they respected them.
Right.
So certain values, that was just a respectable thing to do, even if you weren't doing it. But today, they have gone public with the rejection of biblical values in a whole lot of areas. What is God expecting of you? He is expecting of me and you and us to repent where we have failed and then to hold a standard of where we will not tolerate, regardless of how you were raised. There must be a standard that the kingdom of God holds to that we get back in line with if we're out of alignment, so that the church of Jesus Christ is distinct in the culture. Because no longer will it be popular to be one of the culture. It used to be popular, you could be one of the culture. But now, you take a biblical stand for life, you take a biblical stand for marriage, you take a biblical stand for order, you take a biblical stand, and you're going to be on the out. Now, why would this be a problem if you were working in Thyatira? Well, now, if you blow into this union, and this union says to keep your job, to get a raise on your job, to get promoted on your job, you got to go along to get along. If you don't party with us the way we party, if you don't go left with us, if you don't go worship with us, I'm going to tell you now, you're not going to make it in this company. You're not going to make it in this career. Unless you've decided in advance that there's certain boundaries I will not cross, then what you have to understand is that you are making a choice between the true God, the Son of God, and the false gods who will not be there when your world crashes. So I'm going to tell you that now, because those false gods are not real. They're just convenient. Because let me tell you something about an idol. Folks only pick idols they can control. See, folk pick idols because they can tell an idol what to do. The problem with our God is you don't get to control him. See, that's why folk don't want that God. Because that God can't be dumbed down to the culture. And so he says to them, he says, I'm going to judge the children, but he still gives them an out. He says, unless you repent. Repentance would remove the fact of the judgment of God. I say to the rest, verse 24, who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching. Watch this now. Who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them. I have no other burden on you. Okay, let me talk to you a little bit. To the rest of you who are not compromising, who are repenting, to the rest of you, he says, who do not accept the teaching of the deep things of Satan. So that raises a question, isn't it? What are the deep things of Satan? So they're not so deep things, and they're deep things. A satanic thing is an invitation to disobey God. That's a satanic thing. We all face that. We all have fallen short in that, where we've disobeyed God. That's satanic. But let me tell you what a deep thing of Satan is. A deep thing of Satan is not only when you disobey God, when I disobey God, when we disobey God. A deep thing of Satan, when you've really gone down to hell to hang out with him, is when you call evil good. Now you didn't just go into the bottom of the pit and you're hanging out with the devil. See, as long as you call evil evil, you're saying something true about it. But the moment you go to call evil good, this is legitimate. This is okay. That's why Romans 1 says things got worse and worse and worse. Not only did people do the things, but they applauded those who did them. In other words, they gave approval. And you see today what we clap for, what we affirm, what we celebrate. And we call wretched good. And we celebrate the most evil of people, the most evil of lyrics, the most evil of terminology, the most evil of actions. But we applaud it and we say, ain't that nice and ain't she great and wasn't that funny and isn't that nice? And we go along, and all of a sudden, what we used to shun at and say, ooh, boy, that's nasty, we now say, that's the deep things of Satan. You've now gone, and you've now partying with the devil. But he says, for those who do not accept the teaching of the deep things of Satan, who don't call evil good, he says, I have no greater burden for you. Listen, I don't want to be misunderstood. If you take a stand for intolerance where God is intolerance, there may be some negative things. For those who live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, will suffer. But when God is on your side, and I've shared it, I'll share it once more. My experience with this was when I was at the bus station, they had a scam going. I was working night shift and they had a scam going through seminary, working night shift. And what they would do was punch other people in while they were sleeping, and they would get paid for working while they were sleeping because they would be punched in by somebody else. And then it was the next person's turn the next night to punch you in so you could get paid while you slept. So now I'm caught on the horns of a dilemma because I'm poor. okay? I don't have a mind. I'm making $300 a month, okay? And then everybody's doing it. So now I'm going to be the odd man out if I don't participate in the scam. So after getting up some courage and remembering I'm studying for the ministry after all that, I say, okay, guys, I can't participate in that because that's stealing and that's, I just can't do that. They said, well, no, you don't understand. Everybody does this. Yeah, I know, but I can't do that. Okay, so now I am a non-participant in the union. I'm an odd man out. So I'm feeling the weight of this literally because when buses came in, I would be left to unload them by myself. The other guys wouldn't come because I wasn't participating. Or they would just come and take a bag and then leave. So now I got the weight of non-participation. It's the right thing, but sometimes the right thing can be weighty. Yeah. And so I'm doing the right thing, but I'm feeling it's a little heavy. A month and a half later, I get called to the office. The supervisor says, Evans, I need to see you. So I'm wondering, what's wrong? I go in, I sit down. He said, we are aware of the scam. We are aware. We got a night guy coming around, and we are aware of people punching other people in when they're really not working. We're also aware that you were not participating. So from now on, you are the new supervisor for the night shift. You talk about a burden being lifted. Because in that occasion, I accepted the teaching. So I know this could be weighty right now when you feel like, what is this going to mean for me on my job? And I'm not talking about you going preaching on your job. I'm just talking about you having the divine standard on your work. And that's why he says, hold fast till I come, verse 21. The one who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. You may get some of it now, you get most of it later, but he says, I'm going to give you the ability to rule with me, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. So I shall receive authority from my Father. I will give to him the morning star, that is intimacy with Christ, based on Revelation 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. What he's saying to you and me is to take your stand with love, with kindness, but with clarity. That there is a boundary here. And that boundary we do not cross. And when we do cross it, we repent and get back in line so that we can continue on and have the eyes of the Son of God. And so we want a church that will take its stand for God, regardless of whether we get more members, regardless of whether we get more notoriety. It is the divine standard that we must hold to at all costs.
Dr. Tony Evans, calling believers to rise above compromise and hold fast to God's standards. Now, if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of today's message, which includes content we didn't have time to bring you on the air, it can be yours as a part of Tony's current series, The Jesus Challenge. As I mentioned earlier, we're offering all 8 messages in this powerful collection, digitally as well as on CD or USB flash drive, along with the Living as an Overcomer book, workbook, and Bible study video. They're all yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry. Contact us at tonyevans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says increasing your Christian commitment isn't a matter of just taking on more activities. It calls for something deeper than that. Tomorrow, he'll reveal what makes the difference between being in ministry and just being in motion. I hope you'll join us.